know I may be young, but I've got feelings too, and I need to do what I feel like doing. So let me go and just listen. All your people look at me like I'm a little girl. What did you ever think it'd be okay for me to step into this world? Always saying, little girl, don't step into the club. Well, I'm just trying to find out why, 'cause dance is what I love.
Now watch me.
Dancing when I see this guy. What's practical and logical? What the hell, who cares? All I know is I'm so happy when you're dancing there.
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We are back to discuss Season 2, Episode 2, Brittany / Brittany, or Brittany Brittany. I guess it
Brittany Brittany.
Either way.
Okay. I'm like waiting for you to ask me my temperature.
Oh, well, we will get to that in 1 second. We opened up with Slay For You. I've heard this song a gazillion times because
I've danced to it a gazillion more.
Have you? Like in your bedroom or what do you mean?
No, well, actually, in high school, I used to do a one-person show every so often, and Slay For You was a regular part of the repertoire of Ed.
So. I mean, whoa.
You've been holding out.
You glossed over so many facts in that statement. So you used to do a one-man show in high school?
Yes.
What was your one-man show?
I it was actually called Ed Foreman. Or it was a combination of Ed and performance. Actually, a girl from my high school lives downstairs from me. And we were talking about it the other day. I used to do, like, Slay For You, Painted Black, I did some eclectic things, like some Steve Miller Band.
Like you sang these songs or you danced?
Yeah, I sang. I performed at Starbucks a couple of times.
Wow.
Starbucks, Indiana. Just sign me now.
and you just like brought in a boombox with some karaoke tapes, or how did you perform these songs?
I had a keyboard and sometimes I played some background tape. Sometimes I played it myself a little bit, and sometimes I just did it a cappella. It was like whatever. I was a one man show. Here we go.
I am stunned. I had no idea.
This isn't new news. I mean, you don't know it, but you're not surprised. So.
But I have to know, is there video anywhere out there?
Yes, if I go on YouTube.
Well, there is a video of me. This isn't an Ed Foreman. This is much later. This is actually just last year. After I turned 21, I went to a bar and Bad Romance came on, and I might have gotten a little carried away, and I might have went a little crazy with the dancing and singing. Maybe I'll post that on our Facebook page.
Our first Facebook page. No,
I mean, I try to keep it not viral, but it's been like a year now, so if it becomes viral, I guess I won't be offended anymore.
See, it's funny, like that's a total generational thing, because like Jennifer and I, if someone posted a video like that of us, there probably would be blood involved, quite possibly jail time after the punishment was levied. But like for your generation, that seems to be like it doesn't exist unless it's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That blows my mind.
Wow.
Like, if someone tags me in a photo on Facebook, I get a little pissed.
Oh, somebody...
Why? Why do you get pissed?
Because, I am in control of what people get to see of me. Like, that's a rule.
You can untag yourself.
Really, Joshua Burnell?
I want to be in control.
Because I think there are some pictures of me on your Facebook that I'm not pleased about, but you have them there.
But you look incredible.
No, that doesn't...
You do.
You look incredible in all your pictures, too. How's that?
Anyway.
Don't be going all double standard on me. Ah. Ed, we want to see this. Yes. We want to hear this.
This is the rule.
Ed, for Edformance?
Edformance.
Must make a resurgence.
I was thinking about it. Maybe I'll do, like, an old-style one. Like, it used to be, like, at some points, I was doing it, like, 15 minutes. It was a big deal. Wow. Like, pretty much.
Wow. Well, hold your breath for that. That would be Ed doing I'm a Slave for You. But we opened up with Heather Morris doing I'm a Slave for You from Brittany Brittany, kind of the crux of the episode being Brittany getting to perform. I kind of thought that if you're going to call it Brittany Brittany, that the whole focus of the episode would be Brittany. But
no,
she
when has the whole focus of any episode been about just one character?
Like, I agree.
Even acapellas, although it was heavily on acapellas, of course there were still things that weren't, like, you can't expect it to be all Britney all the time. In fact, I would dare say there might have been too much Britney.
Well, and that would be the first, you know, the first comment to make is that even though the Britney was kind of the focal point, and even though her name was in the title, she really didn't have that much going on in this episode other than her two performances and that we got to hear her sing. I mean, she almost had no plot line when you really get down to it.
She thought Dr. Pepper was a dentist. The problem is we were being forced Britney down our throat without any real coherency as to why. Like, with the Madonna, it made more sense because it was like there's a movement in it because of Sue. And with Gaga, it was only one song, and then it was Poker Face, which didn't make any sense at all. But Bad Romance made sense in the setting. And here we are in Britney Britney, and it's just like Britney and Kurt's sudden passion for it, although not illogical, wasn't like it didn't bring me into it enough for me to believe it.
Well, so it leads me to my general question, Ed. What was your temperature on this episode, or is that the statement? Have you already said that?
I said in my blog that I now post weekly on Facebook. This week I had a picture of Fluffy from Harry Potter to indicate how this episode was fluff. So. You should check it out.
So that was well. Awesome. So I haven't read your blog. So share what were your feelings on this episode?
I just said I love Glee. So I was a little against it because the episode could have used two less musical numbers and two more minutes of plot line, and then it would have been much better. That's my final thing on the episode.
Well, hopefully it's not your final thing because we've only been recording.
That's like my stance on the episode.
We have another 42 minutes.
Going forward, you know this.
Jennifer, what was your temperature on this episode?
Actually, kind of the same thing. The production numbers were fun to watch, but because they were fantasy redos of musical videos, I was sort of like, oh, okay, that's cool. Heather Morris is gorgeous and can dance amazingly well. But I just kind of felt my mind kind of drifting a little bit. Even when Susan, did we lose Ed?
No, that was Ed sending me a link to his blog.
Okay, so
that was so Barney from How I Met Your Mother. Doesn't anyone read my blog? go
ahead. MPH.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought there. But just basically I felt that it just seemed like an excuse to show her videos, and I don't know, like, I kept thinking back to the Madonna episode, and you know, that was basically already done before, the whole empowerment and self-confidence, mm-hmm. and you know, being who you are and embracing that, not hiding it. And it just was done so much better, I think, in that episode than this one.
I totally agree, actually. For me, I actually found a lot of this episode boring the first time I watched it. The beginning, I enjoyed all the stuff where we established, you know, that they wanted to do Britney Spears.
When we met Carl,
who we will definitely discuss, but I really liked Carl. I really liked the whole, you know, Mr. Schuster is a stick in the mud stuff. As soon as we got to the first really long musical number being Britney's Slave for You fantasy, the musical numbers just killed any narrative momentum that this episode had. And as soon as we'll let that pass. They're coming to arrest me for my opinion.
Usually, that's how it works.
I thought that the musical numbers in this episode absolutely killed the narrative momentum. One of the things that we like about Glee is that the musical numbers always help the plot along, or at least the majority of the time, they help the plot along.
Either they're like a performance of the Glee Club, which is a part of the plot line, or it's someone expressing themselves through song, which also moves the plot along. And this time, it was just like mechanisms. Although Heather Morris's dance moves are hot.
She's incredible.
And there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, they also kind of weren't her dance moves. I mean, I know that she wasn't doing direct reproductions of the videos as much as like Santana's portions in Me Against the Music was like shot for shot. But even though she wasn't doing direct recreations of the videos, it still wasn't her stuff, you know? It wasn't totally original. And so a lot of it was kind of homage-y and almost, like, I felt a lot like I'd seen this before, and good Lord. It's like 104 degrees in the valley today, and so there's always lots of sirens when it's crazy hot.
I would imagine.
But yeah, so what they brought to the musical numbers wasn't enough to make them interesting. That said, I totally agree. I think Heather Morris is a crazy dancer, and all of her dance sequences made Brittany like seriously look like, you know, a backup dancer on SNL. So big points for that. Brittany's singing, personally, I thought she was a little less lackluster. I know I'm going to get a little crap for that, but personally, I didn't.
In the two songs, material too.
For the two songs that we got, Say For You and Me Against the Music, I still have no idea what Brittany's voice sounds like.
Yeah, it's very overproduced.
Because Britney Spears songs aren't like known for their vocal range. Shock. So, like, I still have no idea. It's like Santana was somehow the star of Me Against the Music because, like, I felt her passion a little bit more, even though, whatever.
Well, you make a good point. I mean, at the end of the day, Britney's best songs are pretty much written only for Britney Spears. Britney Spears' best songs are pretty much only written for Britney Spears. And they either sound good when she sings them or when you're, like, in a coffee shop with an acoustic guitar making fun of them. I can't say I've ever done that a lot of times. But so it was an odd thing to put Heather Morris into those situations, because you can really only sing those songs exactly like Britney Spears sang them. So you make a good point.
Because there's no vocal range. So if this is all the Britney we're getting, I demand another solo or duet, because I still don't know what Britney sounds like. If this is all they're giving us, then just, I don't know.
Jennifer, how did you feel about Heather Morris's singing in this episode?
Yeah, like I really, other than the intro parts to some of the songs, and she was just sort of talking it, it's really the only time you could decipher her voice. The rest of it was just so overproduced and you know, very much like a Britney Spears song.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could never quite tell like what you were hearing at any given time. Let's go ahead and take a listen to that Me Against the Music. This is Heather Morris and Naya Rivera performing. Originally Britney and Madonna, which is kind of funny. So here is Me Against the Music.
It's just me and me. Yeah. Come on. Hey, Britney. Are you ready? It's pulling my waist to hell the stairs. The sweat is dripping all over my face, and no one's there. I'm the only one dancing up in this place. Tonight I'm here. Feel the beat of the drum, gotta get with that bass. I'm up against the speaker trying to take on the music. It's like a competition, me against the beat. I wanna almost there. I'm feeling it bad and I can't explain.
So we had this was performed by Naya Rivera and Heather Morris. And this was, again, pretty close to the original video. And for me, it just wasn't that. It wasn't unique enough to...
It was cute that Britney was Britney and Santana was Madonna. That was cute.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So, for me, Santana actually had the better jokes in this episode. Like, Santana, her line to Carl in this scene where she says, "My father is a doctor and not a tooth doctor.
Oh, my God.
A real doctor."
I love that line. I love that line.
She also had some great lines with Rachel, where she says, "You dress like one of the bait girls on To Catch a Predator."
Oh, yes. Don't forget about the one about the Japanese businessman with a particular dark fetish.
Very specific fetish. Like, what a great line. So it was funny that Santana got the best
job. There was good Britney lines, too. There was some great Britney lines, too.
She had a couple. Leave Britney Alone was also Santana's. That was pretty great. Britney had a couple good lines in this episode. You can't falter her. It's Britney, bitch. It was very well timed.
Oh, yes, for sure, Z is. I forgot about that.
Definitely the line we got the most email about was actually Rachel's line when she woke up in the dentist chair and says, "Is this real life?"
Oh, is that? That's from that YouTube video.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, from David After Dentist.
It's so great.
Where he's coming back from the dentist and he's in the back seat and he's just stoned.
And I swear, if you look closely, her eyes are crossed.
So what is this about? Carl apparently knocks everyone out. Like, is this a thing in dentistry? Because seriously, like, anesthesia is one of the most dangerous medical procedures you can do. And people are just knocking themselves out?
I guess.
For fun now? Like,
I mean, I thought, like, apparently. You know, like, maybe just a hit of nitrous or something like that. But I didn't know you went completely under.
Well, I think it's slightly exaggerated for television, to be honest.
So I'm sure I'll get email on that statement. I'm sure anesthesia isn't one of the most dangerous, but it's one of the more dangerous common things you can do. And it should not be taken lightly, even if you're Michael Jackson.
So. one of Santana's other great lines that we skipped over was, "You can drill me anytime."
Yes. Yes, excuse me, but can I just say you are the hottest dentist I've ever seen? Yeah, that was pretty good. Well, let's talk a little bit about Carl. We got to meet Carl in this episode. Jennifer, John Stamos.
Very nice to see him back on the little screen.
On the small screen.
On the small screen, whatever. Yes. Yeah, I thought he was great.
He didn't sing and dance, but he definitely came off as very charming.
Yes, and very much enamored with Emma and very eager to... I don't know. I'm not going to say fix her, but very eager to help her relax and enjoy life.
Yes, absolutely. And it is interesting. I mean, we didn't get a lot. We got a lot more of Carl than we got of Carl and Emma together. So, it'd be interesting if we do get to see them kind of as a couple, like what kind of a couple that is. Ed, how did we feel about Carl?
I thought his character was great, and I thought he brought some... It's very rare on this show we see strong males. I mean, look at them all. So, I mean, after Jesse, Carl's like the new one. I see a Carl and Mr. Schuster duet in the future.
Oh, no doubt.
I have no backing for this. Like, no spoilers, because it just made up in my head. But I see it in the future.
Well, and I'm going to go ahead and request "The Girl Is Mine" by Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. Come on, that would be awesome.
Very nice.
But yeah, there isn't much to say about Carl, except that he's apparently a dentist who puts a lot of people under.
And apparently knows that when you put somebody under, it's very similar to giving them roofies.
Yes, exactly. And he was kind of excited about that.
Yeah, he was a little too like in the know on that one. I'm like, whoa, Carl, come on.
And, you know, that brought us around to Mr. Schuster. Now, Mr. Schuster in this episode said he kind of realized that he was a stick in the mud, or at least was kept confronted with that by many people. I think when Emma calls you, or when Emma tells you you need to relax, that's a rough day.
to confront. For real.
That's a sign you're uptight.
It was interesting to see, you know, Mr. Schuster trying to relax, and he got the crazy car, And the car, of course, bringing us back to Terry.
Ed. Yeah, Terry!
Yay
Terry
for Terry.
Terry was, like, the best part of this episode. Like, storyline-wise. Love Terry.
And it was just, I mean, like, her confrontation with Will was just sort of... It was that theme of, you know, your significant other holding you back so that you can feel confident.
Yeah.
And it's like when, you know, she says to him, like, just don't buy any more things, because when we get back together, and we will, because I'm the best thing for you, we're going to need some sort of savings. And I was just like, wow, what is it about these people, like, holding each other back?
It was pretty intense. That whole sequence was pretty intense.
Yeah.
But maybe you guys picked up on it. I couldn't quite tell. Is Terry actually collecting spousal support?
Yeah, yes. She said okay. She was getting it every month. She's reminded of it.
Oh, which he won't be able to afford if he's buying crazy cars.
Yeah.
Yes.
We had some new pamphlets from Emma in this episode. Her pamphlets in her office were, "Wow, there's a hair down there. I still breastfeed, but how old is too old? And proper wiping is easy as 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Well, you know, uncomfortable discussions have to be had sometimes so that these problems don't come up anymore.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
Now, Mr. Schuster, in his attempts to relax and to chill out, he eventually did a performance with the Glee Kids. I think this is his first performance kind of with them, at least in public, because he's performed with them.
Oh, yeah,
and
you, like, he's done Gold Digger and such, but this is his first one in public, and it was super awkward. Yeah. So
it was a little creepy, him dancing with them like that.
It was, but you can definitely see, like, Matthew Morrison is a good dancer, and I think that he really gets excited when he gets the opportunity to dance. There was a certain glee that seemed to go beyond the character. I used the word glee.
Yes, you did.
That's right. But yeah, it was kind of awkward in that way, you know, him performing with them. Yeah. And it was it being the very sexy song that they performed. It started a sex riot.
Yes, it did.
Now, Ed, how do we feel about the sex riot?
I didn't really understand it. I mean, it didn't seem like a sex riot like Sue Sylvester portrayed, but I guess I don't feel anything.
Of course
you're going to dance some toxic. It's toxic.
And the other thing, too, is I just don't get Sue's objection to Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Because she's such an advocate of Madonna, and, I mean, it's just a different generation, but the same message and the same embodiment of power. Sorry.
Well, it's the same way that Puck, like, fought against Madonna songs, and it's just a convenient way for the writers to have a villain in the story.
Yeah, but, you know, she was all for Madonna but not Britney, and I don't understand how she can do that.
Yeah, it was odd because she used the same argument to support Madonna that she used to oppose Britney. If her argument was, like, you shouldn't do Britney because she's nothing but, you know, a low-rent Madonna, or, you know, that she is a bad role model in the crazy, you know, personal adventures that she's had, public adventures that she's had, you know, that would have been an interesting argument. But the argument was that, you know, too much empowerment and all these things, which is exactly what she liked about Madonna. I found that argument pretty flimsy, too. And the whole concept of the sex riot to me seemed, like, really funny on a page. But when it actually happened in the episode, I didn't quite get it at all. I don't know. It just seemed a little odd, and I didn't see how this particular performance was any racier than the performance they gave last year at the Glee Assembly.
I know! It's so funny, because both songs were, like, sexually fed, and I was, like, I was wondering if that was going to be, like, a trend.
Yes.
Like, next year, are we going to get, like, a sexually fed performance from Sam Evans?
Well, let's go ahead and listen to Toxic. Here is, as performed by the Glee Kids, with Mr. Hey, Schuster joining them. Yes, here is Toxic.
Baby, can't you see? I'm calling. A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling. There's no escape, I can't wait. I need a hit, baby, give me it. You're dangerous, I'm loving it.
To too high, can't come down. Losing my head, spinning round and round. Oh, do you feel me now?
With a taste of your lips, I'm on a ride.
Now, from a musical standpoint, I do think that Toxic is one of Britney Spears' better songs, and it does have one of the best videos. And I always
what I like really liked about this song in Glee is that it was the only one that would truly had a unique arrangement.
Yeah,
like the banana. I was like, oh, that's so good.
Well, and that was my one complaint is I would have liked to see the opening arrangement with the acoustic guitar and like a real accent on the vocals kind of carry further into it. Like it started off really strong and then it kind of went to a much more literal, you know, or a much more, you know, copy of the original track, where I thought the opening was so cool and it fit the costumes and everything. And I guess that's the most we got to hear Heather Morris just sing as herself at the very beginning of this song. She does have the opening chords. Jennifer, how did you feel about Toxic in this episode?
I liked it because it was actually all of them together again.
Yeah?
You know, to actually see them perform as a group. Yeah, that's it.
it's
not a lot to say.
That's kind of how I feel about most of the stuff in this episode. There's just not that much to say. Well, we did have, you know, the continuing relationship of Finn and Rachel on this episode. And as much as the show wants to tempt us, they've said that they aren't going to give us a Ross and Rachel situation here where they're going to break up and get together on a weekly basis. And they don't seem to be, but they do like to tease us with it. I definitely saw this episode ending with them splitting up, but they did stay together, big points for that.
They have such tension inherently that no matter what's happening in their relationship, I feel like it's always going to be rocky unless like some catastrophe is happening on the other side of the Glee Club room. They're going to be like super rocky. Like it would take Santana getting pregnant or something to like get them focused.
That's an interesting point. There just seems to be so much external drama right now. You know, the crux of their storyline this time was she didn't want him to rejoin football because she was worried that he would run off
with a cheerleader
once he got popular.
A cheerleader.
That'd be horrible.
I love conniving Rachel when she sent Quinn to go like seduce Finn. I was like, you go, girl.
Is it me or do the concepts of I love you in this show get thrown around really loosely? Because
that's kind of how it is in real life for young people, to be honest. Like,
I was in high school.
People throw out the word love, like they mean it, and then later when confronted about it, and they'll be like, oh, I love you, like, I love CSI. And then you're like, what? That's actually a true life story of my friend. His girlfriend told him that she loved him, and then he responded accordingly. And then later she was like, oh, I loved you like I love CSI. And I was like, he was pretty upset. Understandably so. People of my generation, you need to not be throwing around the L word. Like, it's
seriously.
Like it's some other four-letter word that you can just throw around. Say the other ones.
Well, that was the thing. Like, Quinn does the whole thing with Finn, and it was cool to see that moment because I definitely did not expect Finn to go that direction. And so then Quinn walks over to Rachel and says, I guess he really loves you. And I'm like, whoa, slow your roll. Like, I mean, I have not heard the L word yet, but I suppose, you know, you could be right, Edward. But I do think that this show is written by adults and that the adults should have a little, I don't know. I was uncomfortable.
Like, it might be generational, and it probably is, but I feel like it's just how it is.
All right. Well, we did get to hear Rachel's performance and her attempts to match, I guess, Finn's popularity and kind of change up. Or she kind of wanted to become what she thought he would be attracted to so his eyes wouldn't wander. I never really got her motivation for her
I think she would be more popular than him, I thought. I thought that was the motivation. Like, she was like, oh, now you're not the captain of the football team. Now it's my turn to control control. That's, I don't know.
I don't know. Jennifer, how did you feel about her performance of, what was that song?
I just,
Maybe One More Time.
Yeah, I mean, I took that as she was trying to show him how it felt for her.
Mm.
You know, because he was going to put himself into a position where he'd be getting a lot of attention. So she just wanted to show him what it was like. But, you know, whatever. She, I mean, the first episode, she kind of dressed like that anyhow.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, like, episode two or three where she started going to the real, you know,
dowdy stuff.
Yeah. Sister wifey thing.
Now, one thing I realized in this episode is how many of Britney Spears' songs seem to be about abusive relationships, but like in a good way, you know, where she's like talking about how, you know, how awesome her abusive relationships are. It's, she makes very uncomfortable music for me. But we did get to hear Rachel perform Baby One More Time. And we'll go ahead and give a listen to that. It was funny. Rachel had the line in this one where she said, "I'm glad you quit football because I was being disturbed by my... Or I, now I don't have to fantasize about what I'd sing at your bed when you were in a coma." So anyway, here's a bit of Lea Michele performing Baby One More Time. And again, a video that was pretty much a reproduction of the original.
Baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight, yeah. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, 'cause I need to know now. Because my loneliness is killing me. And I must confess, I still believe. When I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign.
This is one of those, like, maybe 10 years ago, was a wildly covered song. I think I had, like, four versions of this song being covered by different people. It's a catchy track. One of the things that jumped out at me, and Ed, I don't know if you had this reaction, but my first reaction was, holy crap, chord change. I think they boosted the key of this song, like, three times so that it would suit her voice. Did you see that at all?
I guess I'm not as technical, but if in a sense I, as opposed to how Heather Morris got drowned out by the Britney-ness, Rachel managed to retain her Rachel-ness. Like, I could that's hear true. Rachel in the song. So if that's what you're trying to say, without, I guess that's what I mean.
I just think that to me it was incredibly where Heather Morris definitely went to, like, sing a Britney song like Britney. Rachel really tried to sing a Britney song like Lea or like Rachel, and it just
thing. That totally makes sense then. I mean, look at Britney is Britney, but Rachel is Rachel. So which sounds
Rachel
ridiculous.
Is Rachel.
But it honestly makes sense. Someone,
promise. Well, let's go ahead and we'll talk a little bit about Artie and Finn in this episode. Artie is still trying to get himself onto the football team, and pretty much just for the objective of winning back Tina. There didn't seem to be a lot going on with this plot line, except that it was a trigger for her to sing a song, or for Artie to sing a song. And I don't really buy this plot line at all. It kind of came up in the last episode, and the whole plot line just seems too absurd and leaves me feeling cold.
Well, why is it absurd, Josh? Tell me why.
Well, we all know. I mean, is that a serious question?
I mean, it isn't absurd because it isn't absurd already wanting Tina back. That isn't absurd. And...
Well, yeah, but yeah, I mean, yeah. The concept of Artie, you know, trying to get onto the football team and using his wheelchair as a battering ram, like, that's
totally
absurd.
I'm a little confused on that aspect of the plan, but his idea to obtain a higher popularity position in order to seem more desirable to Tina is a logical thing.
Well, yeah, but like that's been Artie's thing all along. You know, he's been a film director. He's, you know, tried to be a dancer at times. I mean, Artie has plenty of things going for him, and so if there are, again, there are lots of places this character could go, but this whole plot line of him trying to get onto the football team, and then one, like him coming up with the idea at all is pretty absurd. Two, mm-hmm. Finn going with it, and now the coach of the football team is going with it. I mean, the whole thing is just, I don't,
it's just a vehicle.
Embarrassing.
For people in football uniforms to dance. I think that's really what happened here. They're like, people love Single Ladies last year. We should do that again.
Yeah, you could be onto something there. Jennifer, how do you feel about Artie's trying to get on the football, or successfully getting on the football team?
He wants abs. He needs abs.
He does.
Tina asked Artie to be more into things that she's into, like abs.
It's true.
And well, I mean, yes, he's in a chair, but the fact is we've all seen photos of Kevin McHale at the beach, and Kevin McHale has some freaking abs. I don't know, I just don't buy it. It bothers me, and it feels like it drags, like everything else the show does kind of dances on a line of believability and absurdity, but that's why we like it, and this is just way too far in the realm of absurdity for me. But it appears to not really be bothering you guys as much.
No, I mean, it is very confusing because, like, yes, Artie feels that, you know, he should be able to do anything, regardless of his condition. And I understand the school wanting to support him to a degree. I don't really understand the coach's motivation. I mean, like, they show her witnessing Artie stepping in and kind of protecting Finn from the other players who are harassing him in the hall. So maybe she thinks if Artie's on the field, that her players won't get touched and they'll actually score touchdowns? I don't know.
I think you're going a route that I didn't think about. I was more along the lines of she didn't want people to judge herself on her by her appearance.
Right.
So yeah. That's more what I see, but I...
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get that. And I definitely get, you know, everybody should be given the opportunity to try everything. But, So yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I came away from it the other night with. And then, as we were just talking about it now, I thought, well, maybe she is kind of using him as a device to shield the team and to shield the quarterback. I don't know.
That would be a very Sue Sylvester move, so I approve.
Okay.
Motion pass.
It has a Sue stamp of approval.
We got Becky. I always love when Becky's in the show.
She's great.
Let's go ahead and give a listen to Stronger, as performed by Kevin McHale. Here is a bit of that.
There's nothing you can do or say, baby. I'm not your property, it's from today, baby. You might think that I will make it on my own, but now I'm stronger than yesterday. Now it's nothing but my way. My loneliness ain't killing me no more.
I also think they kind of, it's kind of a forgettable Britney song. I mean,
Stronger isn't anything but forgettable. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, look at the other hits on this list. Like Baby One More Time, Toxic, Me Against the Music, Slave for You. These are all monster Britney hits. I don't know if she
Stronger
has a fifth
was,
one.
Stronger was a huge song. Stronger was huge. What are you talking about?
I barely remember it.
Okay.
Like, maybe sad. You know, maybe something from a newer album, like... I don't know. This is kind of randomly forgettable.
Classic Britney. Classic Britney.
Well, speaking of Britney, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. Just one thing. I don't know if it's the same by what's happened over there in California, but here, all the radio stations since like the day of the episode and now till Thursday today, they've been playing various Britney catalog songs like all the time. Like I've heard Toxic, Baby One More Time, Circus, and Stronger and Lucky, like all these songs that I haven't heard on the radio since their perspective like successful times, and it's like, whoa, lots of Britney.
So you mentioned Britney, Britney Spears. We'll definitely get emails if we don't mention that Britney, the character's name is Britney S. Pierce, which makes her Britney Spears.
I totally thought it was last year. I remember thinking this. I don't know if I ever said on the episode, but I definitely did consider it at one point. I'm like, they're not showing us her last name because it's Spears. That's why.
So, you know, Mr. Schuster's argument in this episode was that he didn't think Britney Spears was a very good role model. And the kids in the group were kind of the opinion that we don't really care because she as a performer was very inspirational to us as young people. My question for you guys, and I think we'll start with you, Ed, because I know you'll be the most passionate. How do you feel about Britney Spears as a role model? Like, how did you feel about Mr. Schuster's comments in this particular case?
Well, I don't think she's as terrible as a role model as people make her out to be. She's no Lindsay Lohan, so there's that going for her. And even at her most crazy, all she did was shave off her head, which isn't really endangering anyone but herself. And it didn't hurt her.
I was like right up the street from us too.
I don't really think. I think she's a good role model in the sense that she worked hard. She's not the best vocalist, let's just be honest, but she's obviously a very talented dancer, and she's had some creative she must have at some point had some creative options with her career, and she made good choices overall. So as a performer, she's the American dream.
So you're saying as a performer she's a role model, but as a person you're saying she's just not as bad as she gets made out to be?
Yeah, because everyone makes everyone out way worse than they actually are. Even I don't even think Lilo's that bad, but whatever.
She's pretty bad. Jennifer, how do you feel about, as a woman, how do you feel about Britney Spears as a role model?
It's hard to say. I haven't been through exactly what she's been through. I haven't led the life or put in the position to make the choices that she's made. On the surface, and the way she's portrayed by the media, no, definitely at points not a very good role model. How she appears to have brought her personal life and her career around is very admirable. I mean, it's definitely something to be said about that. I mean, everybody has low points in their lives. Hers, unfortunately, was magnified and, you know, blasted around the world within seconds. So, I don't envy her. I think, though, you know, I think there could be something to be said for the last couple of years of her, you know, really working to get her crap together.
Well, but okay, so let me ask a question a different way. Little Jennifer Jr. Goes into her bedroom and takes down the Bernadette Peters poster that I put up for her and puts up a Britney Spears poster right next to the Carolyn Kane poster that I put up for her. So what, like, is this...
Which poster?
She puts up a Britney Spears poster this is... Well, so is that the question? Like, yeah, does it matter which Britney Spears she goes with? Or?
As long as it's just a poster and not, you know, redesigning her wardrobe to match it.
The Madeline Kahn poster that I've just take that down. She's like, oh,
no. God.
Well, you know, I don't know really where I stand on it either. I mean, I think that, you know, Britney Spears, she's always fallen into that, like, she was a role model simply because people said she was. She never really, seem to want to be, but she was more of a pop provocateur than anything, and yet you put her in front of a microphone and she tried to play the role of like a young, naive Southern girl. Like, even as she's recording Slave for You, put her, you know, on the Tonight Show and she's talking about, you know, how sweet her life is and how, you know, she was trying to play very, very nice. So she was always kind of this odd duality for me. I have to admit, if I was in Shu's position, I'd be pretty uncomfortable with a bunch of high school kids doing old Britney Spears songs. Even if they are good, the connotation is dangerous.
You know, I mean, now that I'm thinking about a few more minutes here, I don't know that I think any celebrity should be a role model. I mean, just because they are...
I've lived my life in this style of Kirk Cameron, and okay. You know...
I know you have. We could just clear out that closet of all those jackets with the sleeves rolled up.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron up until, like, 88, yeah. And then I stopped.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's one thing to admire somebody for their talent and their ambitions and... you know, maybe the glamour of it, but to call them role models, I think that's more than most celebrity deserve.
That's an interesting point. Well, yes, I'm curious what the listeners think. So if you have an opinion on this, especially our mom listeners, definitely let us know what you think of Britney Spears as a role model, you know, and how do you feel about this episode? Because that is, I think, one of the questions that got raised by this episode but never quite explored is, you know, when they did the Madonna episode, people may have their problems with Madonna, but at the end of the day, Madonna's message is very simple. It is self-empowerment. It is owning your body. And it is, you know, being proud of who and what you are. Britney Spears' message, she really doesn't have one. And so, you know, where does she lie in that? I'm very curious. You can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, that's pretty much all I have for this episode. Ed, do you have anything else for this episode?
I'm excited for next week, I guess. That's pretty much it. I mean... there was so much hype for this episode, but it ended up being a big, like, stringling a little bird in my hand. That's what it ended up being.
Jennifer, do you have anything else about this episode?
I will say, Britney Spears, as herself...
is a horrible actress.
But she's gotten so much better. I mean, think about the other shows we've seen her in, when she was in How I Met Your Mother and Will and Grace. When she's done other shows, she's been really, really awkward. I thought she looked kind of comfortable up there.
That's good. Comfortable.
Yeah, she looked comfortable. It was good to see her relaxing a little bit.
Well, before we go, we are going to, we will go out on Lea Michele's version of The Only Exception, which is odd because it's a Paramore song, and they kept pitching this as the Britney episode, and then they ended with a Paramore song.
Well, she always ends with something that's off topic or off theme. That sounded wrong.
Well, and that's one of my complaints, is that both at the last episode and this episode, I think that you pretty much could have turned them off 2 or 3 minutes early.
Yeah,
like as soon as Rachel went into her What I Did for Love, and then in this episode with The Only Exception, both times I got up to get another beer and forgot she came to come back. So, including when I rewatched the episode at 10 o'clock this morning. So, you know, it's just kind of odd that they would go with that. Ed, how did you feel about The Only Exception at the end of the episode?
I was rewatching the episode. When I rewatched the episode, I will say that I enjoyed it much more now that I expected not to have any storyline. I just enjoyed the performance. So it was good. But by the time I got to The Only Exception, I fell asleep. So, to be honest, the second time I was like, whatever, The Only Whatever.
I do agree. I did enjoy this episode again more the second time. Jennifer, what was your opinion on The Only Exception?
It didn't feel as disjointed in as much of a tag-on as it did last week. But because it just seemed like as she was singing and they you know, they focus in on the different people, kind of reflecting everything that's been happening to them and how it might apply to them. It seemed more universal in its theme rather than last week, which was just very self-serving.
I agree with that. It was better than last week, no doubt. Yeah. It was funny when she got up to perform the song, and she started it with like a 5-minute speech about, and I felt kind of uncomfortable. Like, if I was in the room listening to her tell Finn like how much she loves him and how happy she is, I would have been crawling out of my skin. It was so awkward.
That's a very patient audience, though. There's not a lot of crosstalking. They let each other get their message out, which is
It's very
nice,
true.
I guess.
It was also kind of an odd musical selection, just because, as Ed knows, I never listen to the radio ever. And if it's on the radio, I probably, I've probably heard it, but I probably don't like it. But I love Paramore. I'm a monster Paramore fan. I have all their records, including All We Know Is Falling, which isn't very good. But I have all their records. I have all the special editions. I love Paramore. And this is possibly my least favorite Paramore song. It's a total, like, it's kind of a country song. I don't know. It's totally out of character for them. And it has an odd tempo, but you know, that's just my opinion on the song. I know it's a huge hit, so I suppose that's something. Ed, before we go, and before we go ahead and listen to The Only Exception to take us out, would you like to thank some iTunes reviewers and some new Facebook friends, if you'd like to mention them?
Yes. The Mo Man, Team Edward 93, Michaela. Unfortunately, my iTunes browser just closed, so I will call your name out if I didn't do it this week. I'd like to thank Chloe, Jorge, Carissa, James, and some other people. Caitlin, Courtney, Carol, Debbie, James, Mike O'Brien again. So thank you for replying to my Facebook comment, Facebook stuff. So search Lethal on Facebook and you'll be able to find us. I do blog every Tuesday now. It's gonna be my commitment to you.
All right. Yeah. Listener Max wanted us to say hello to him, so hello to listener Max.
What up, Max?
Yeah, and so we talked about a contest, a new contest. When Jennifer and I went to see the Glee cast at Comic-Con, they had a giveaway, and it was a big foam finger, like you get at a sporting event, but it's a big Glee foam finger, and it's making the Glee L, and it's really cool.
It's very fun.
And we got an extra one, and we want to give it out to a listener. So, this is our contest to give it out. We're going to have an art contest. It doesn't have to be the best. It's just the one that we like the best. And this is your art assignment. Do something, like draw a picture. You can draw it, you can use Photoshop, just something visual. Do some fan art for Gleeful. You can do the logo, you can draw a picture on a napkin and scan it into the computer. We don't care what it is, but some form of art, and post it on the Facebook fan page, on the wall. And when you're there, you can become our friend or our fan if you're not there already. But we want to see what you guys have to create and to share your love for Glee. And, just be creative with it. And we will give the finger to someone that we like. And everybody's always like, I don't have any artistic ability. But it's not about that.
No.
It's about being awesome.
And so, yes,
being hilarious and being adventurous. So throw it on the wall, and we look forward to seeing what everybody has, and to how creative you all can be. Because reading your emails and your posts on the fan page and everything, we know that you all can be crazy creative. So that's fantastic. Before we go, I think that's everything. Gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. Ed, do we have anything else?
Nope.
All right.
I don't think so.
For the Gleeful Podcast, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shutting down all over the world, except when the monsoon strikes. Ed. I'm not letting it go. I'm not letting it go. Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet, everyone.
You are the only exception. You are the only exception. You are the only exception. Only exception.
so many better Paramore songs they could do. Misery Business, Crush.
I'm in the business of misery. That's I don't like Crush song. As much as you like Crush.
Oh, I love Misery Business. Misery Business is my favorite one.